Yeah, Father God, we thank you that your mercy is more. Thank you that you loved us so much in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you have given your only begotten Son for us. Thank you that you came down to reach out to us, even though we went far away from you. Thank you that you have been a loving Father for us in Christ Jesus. Even as we look into the passage today, we pray that we will grow in our praises and service of you. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So if you have your Bibles, please keep it open at Psalm 23. There is an old story about a priest who was celebrating his 50th anniversary of ordination. The great actor Richard Burton was invited for the celebration in his childhood parish as a guest speaker. After giving his speech in the parish auditorium, he asked if the audience want to ask him any questions. After a minute's pause, his old pastor asked him if he could recite Psalm 23, which he had taught Burton in his Sunday school. A strange look came up over the actor's face. He paused for a moment and then said, "I will, but on one condition, that after I have recited it, my pastor and teacher will do the same." "I," said the retired pastor, "I'm not an actor, but if you wish, I shall do so." Impressively, the actor began the psalm. His voice and intonation was perfect. He held his audience spellbound, and as he finished, a great burst of applause broke from the audience. As it died away, the old pastor rose from his wheelchair and began to recite the same psalm. His voice was feeble and shivering, and his tone was not faultless. But when he finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. So the actor came back to the podium and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I reached your eyes and ears, but my old pastor has reached your hearts. The difference is just this: I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." How can we, as a congregation, but also as individuals, be like this old pastor who knows the shepherd? The modern day wants us to be self-made man or a woman and picks and highlights stories of their heroes who made it on their own. America is called the land of the dreams for the modern world, where you can go and fulfill all your dreams and be a self-made man. The churches, on the other hand, are not there to make a self-made man, but for those who deny themselves, who want to walk in the ways of God and to be a God-shaped people. The church is for those who are there to grow in the understanding of their God and their shepherd, like the old man in the story. I think this psalm shows at least two ways in which we can show the world that we know the shepherd. If I can say God is my shepherd, or if you can say God is your shepherd, then you and I will firstly be content in life, and secondly be confident in life. So the first point I'm going to make is, a person who knows the shepherd will be content in life. The psalmist David, if you look down, starts by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We have here the idea that if the Lord is our shepherd, we have all that we need. We have all that we want. We lack nothing. We want nothing, we could say. We have the idea of contentment, real, lasting, and genuine contentment. contentment is not a virtue prized in contemporary society. In fact, the numerous marketing images that we see each day aim to make us feel discontent with our present situation and to increase our desire for material goods that hold out the promise to make us happy. But in the Bible, contentment is a virtue highly praised. Paul says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." What is contentment? Dictionary defines contentment as a state of happiness and satisfaction. And the psalmist gives some hints on how he found contentment. You know, David starts with saying, "God is my shepherd." So on Friday, me and my wife went to have dinner with another church couple. I told them that on Sunday I'm preaching from Psalm 23. And the wife said, "Oh, I'm reading a book on Psalm 23. And I asked her what really stuck from that psalm. She said, one of the things that stuck from that psalm was that it came alive for her that the word, "Lord is my shepherd," the Lord, is the same Lord that created the universe in Genesis. It's the same Lord who created created us a nation from a man and a woman who were not able to give birth. It's the same Lord who delivered the Israelites from the hand of the evil Pharaoh. And that's the same Lord Psalmist is talking about. This Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd analogy was used very commonly for kings in the Middle Eastern culture. We can see that in the Bible. The Bible talks of Israelite kings as shepherds. Even though David is a king, he wants to acknowledge and wants to be grateful for the role God plays in his life. This is Bible commentator Gerald Wilson, who wrote a commentary on Psalms, agrees and remarks that David, who understood himself to be a shepherd of Israel, and who was acknowledged by the people as such, should speak of Yahweh, that's the Lord mentioned in the Bible, as my shepherd. It's a way of acknowledging that Yahweh, or Lord, is indeed the power behind the throne of David. Not just David, but behind the throne of all the kings of Israel and Judah. And that in reality, Yahweh, or Lord, is the true king of Israel. But if you see in the psalm, David is not only acknowledging that God is the true king of the nation Israel, but he's also David's personal shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David is not looking from the vantage point of a king of Israel, but also from the vantage point of a sheep in Israel. So Kenneth Bailey, a Bible scholar, who had lived and worked in the Middle East for many decades, says that in Israel, there is grass available everywhere, only for a couple of months during the monsoon season, and still waters are also a rarity most of the time during the year. So for